Well, good evening, everybody, and a very warm welcome from all of us at the Co-op. Thank you so much for coming. We're absolutely delighted that we're launching Katie's new book tonight, in the second in the Risen Sun trilogy. And congratulations, Katie. Well done. It's great. 2009 ACT Young Australian of the Year and best-selling author Jack Heath is going to launch The Shadow Throne tonight. So welcome, Jack.
Thank you very much.
A little while ago, by which I mean a few years ago, I made a somewhat horrific mistake. I wrote a book in which several of the characters were named after my friends and just people I knew. I say this was a mistake because most of the characters were somewhat horrific people. They were thieves, murderers, terrorists, and worse. And my friends were somewhat insulted, regardless of the number of times I assured them that that the characters weren't based on them, simply named after. And this came to mind quite recently when Katie told me that her upcoming book, The Shadowed Throne, had a character based on me in it. And I said, you mean named after, right? And she's like, no, based on and named after. And I said, oh, well, what's he like then? And she said, oh, he's a charming, witty con artist. Thank you, I think. Now, you'll understand that I started reading this book with a faint sense of trepidation. I was concerned that I might learn more about myself than I actually wanted to know. But I needn't have worried, because the journey was sufficiently entertaining that I had no time whatsoever for introspection. I wasn't even looking for the character based on me, frankly. I was just tearing through it because there's, you guys have probably read Katie's work before. There's epic battles, there's griffins dismembering one another, there's sociopathic gods, there are deformed heroes, literally in this case, more than usual, in fact, which is very, very exciting. I think it's worth noting that this was something that I've been reading Katie's books for a very, very long time, but this was something I'd never been able to articulate until now. I don't think this is necessarily a fantasy book in the traditional sense. Fantasy novels tend to have a sort of Middle Ages feel to them, or a Dark Ages feel to them. With this book, Katie's managed to tap into something much, much older. I'm thinking the sort of the ancient legends of Greek paganism and that sort of thing. Given that we're looking at the cruel gods who care nothing whatsoever for human beings and just pit them against one another for in some cases for amusement, in some cases for revenge. But there's never any altruism up there. In this book, the gods are very much real, and you can't beat them. There's a great line somewhere along when the villain, when she's confronted with her god and given an awful task, the line is something along the lines of, "But who could look their god in the eye and say no? And who among us could?" That's in part what this book is about, which is very exciting. Now, when I won't talk about Heath, because he doesn't show up till close to the end, and also he's not the reason you'd read the book. The reason you read the book is for Layla, who I think of as the straight talking, even straighter punching, hard drinking, swears like a sailor, commoner turned queen, who was just a really, really exciting character. She excited me in the first book, and she excites me even more now, and I found her absolutely impossible to dislike. There's, if you can imagine, now that there's a scene where over a tax issue, she just kind of goes into a pub, in disguise, and then starts arguing with people over her policies and challenging them to fist fights. Can you imagine that if Julia Gillard came down from her throne and went to the UC bar and just started punching people who trash talked the carbon tax? Wouldn't that make the popularity go up? It's just impossible to dislike this woman, and it's really nice that, I mean, this series has always been about the building of the world. There's the three languages, three cultures, endless cities, endless characters, and all that stuff. Most fantasy authors are world builders, I suppose, but Katie is a world destroyer. She's built this world, and now she's tearing it to pieces. And it's nice to have a character to root for, someone who's at the centre of this story at long last, who's the one who sees sense, but it doesn't help because everything's falling down around her. I won't spoil the ending for you, and I'd ask you not to spoil it for me. I'm still kind of 20 pages to go. But I will tell you that I can already tell that this book is even better than book one. If you're the sort of person who enjoys fantasy, or if you're the sort of person who enjoys ancient Greek legends, or maybe you just want to see some griffins tear one another to shreds, you will love this book. And if you know anyone who matches that description, please don't hesitate to buy it for them as a gift. But then again, Katie has made me out to be a con artist, so why would you trust me? This is not good planning at all on your part. Anyway, it is my very, very great honour to declare this book officially launched and to welcome to the stage the despicably talented KJ Taylor.
Actually, Jack, the real mistake I've made is that I keep getting you to launch my books, so I have to speak immediately after you. It's just too embarrassing for words. And if anyone's wondering, I made him a con artist because Jack likes to boast about what a good liar he is. In public.
Do I?
Yes. Remember that speech you gave about how you discovered you were good at lying?
That's
so
not
therefore...
how I remember it. That never happened.
Well, the thing about a good con artist is you want to believe them. Anyway, so, well, you know, welcome everybody. Thank you for being here. I'd like to thank the Co-op Bookshop for once again going all out to make this an evening to remember. I'd like to thank everyone who came, and I'd like to thank everyone who wanted to come but unfortunately couldn't, so, you know, I'm thinking of them. And I'd particularly like to thank Radford College, because, and not just because the school gave me a job. Quite a few fellow Radford employees are here at the moment, so I'd like to thank them in particular for coming. And Radford is, of course, well... a place that nurtured my interest in books and also taught me about how to be a good public speaker, which is a very useful skill to have, especially if you're an author trying to basically sell yourself. So, yeah, a big thank you to Radford and the Co-op and my family and friends, and a big thank you to Jack for, you know, flattering me again. Immediately before giving a speech, it's a good time to receive a bit of flattery. Anyway, so those who have been to my launches before of this particular series will know that the speeches that I've given have been sequels to each other, basically, because I've been launching a series. So I thought, why not make the speeches be a series? So for the very first one, I said, in some fantasy novels, blah, blah, blah. For the second one, I said, for the sequel to some fantasy novels, blah, blah, blah. And I've basically been doing that ever since. So anyway, so in the fifth sequel to some fantasy... Well, I can't say that anymore because it doesn't count anymore. The time for that is past. You see, the thing is that when I started writing this series, what I was doing was playing with fantasy. I was like, you know, I was thinking I didn't particularly like fantasy, and I thought, why? And then I thought, well, maybe I could write it in ways that I liked, you know, do it differently. And that's basically what I've been doing, you know, right up until now. But the thing is that, like Terry Brooks, who wrote a Lord of the Rings tribute novel because they wouldn't let him write a sequel, he moved on from that, and so have I. I'm not doing that anymore. So this book isn't meant to parody or subvert anything in particular. Basically, the world has gotten so deep and I'm so far into it that I don't need to draw on anything else. I just tell the stories that are in this particular world. And Jack was right on the money about the gods, by the way, because I always liked the Greek gods. I always thought they were more interesting than the gods we have today. They had more personality, basically. I said that, you know, that today's monotheistic gods are Mary, Sue, and the sky. They're never wrong. They're always right about everything. If you doubt them, then you're wrong and possibly a bad person. But the Greek gods were wrong. They made mistakes, and they weren't very nice, and they acted like how you'd expect insanely powerful people to act. And it's good that I'm on the topic of gods because, well, I'm not religious. But everybody believes in something, and what I believe in is stories. Stories are what make my life meaningful, and they what in the end they make everybody's lives meaningful, and that's why I write stories, and that's why people enjoy reading them. So this is my offering to you. This book is my offering on the altar of stories, I suppose. And I really hope that the people who read it enjoy it, and I hope that I can finish this series. There's no guarantees in this life, but basically, that is what I offer. So, thank you.